Hi everyone, welcome back to the DevOps Lab. This time I'm joined by Deepak. What are we talking about?
Today we are talking about Azure Data Warehouse, why enterprises are choosing Azure Data Warehousing over on-prem data warehouse.
Awesome, don't miss it. Hey everyone, welcome back to the DevOps Lab. I'm Damien, and this time I am joined by a friend from Canada, Deepak Kosek. How are you?
I'm doing good, Damien.
Excellent. Thanks for joining me. We were MVPs for a little while in Canada together. We've spoken at a conference together as well. And we are talking about data warehousing today,
correct?
So I'm a complete noob at this stuff. Let's start by explaining what is data warehousing? What's it for?
Well, yes. Data warehousing is we have in our enterprise different data, solo data for each applications, mm-hmm. and different, say, enterprise having location in Europe, in Australia, in Africa, or North America, they have solo data over there. We could say data mart, mm-hmm. but data warehouse is the top layer where we have data from all different geographical locations so that we could analyze it, we could produce the report, and we can manage the data.
Right, so rolling up data from all sorts of different locations so we can look at it as a whole.
That's right.
Awesome. So there's a few different ways to do this from what I understand, and commonly this is something that's done on premises, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so there's databases all over the place, and then you have an on-premises data warehouse, and you have to worry about pulling all that data in and managing that infrastructure for your data warehouse, right?
Yes.
So you were telling me as well that you just helped somebody move a ton of their stuff from on-premises to the cloud, right?
Correct.
So the first question I have is why? Why move it to Azure? Why not just keep it on-premises?
Right. Just consider in this way, if we have our on-prem data warehouse, or if someone is planning for on-prem data warehouse, mm-hmm. on front end, they need a lot of investment to procure the servers for networking, for security, and mm-hmm. then a lot of resources for taking care of that. So all the organizations are moving for cloud data warehousing, which mm-hmm. is comparatively very cheaper.
Right.
We could take one example. For example, we have on-prem data warehouse having some storage amount, but if we have to increase the storage, we need a lot of permission, we have to down it, we have to put the extra hardware, and it's almost take a couple of days for an enterprise.
Yeah.
But if we look over, we will do a demo and we will find out it is maybe in fraction of minutes, we mm-hmm. could do that.
Right, just to scale it up.
That's right.
I remember the days of even just writing applications and needing to get more hardware for a server, right? And the provisioning process and acquiring the hard drives and putting everything in and scaling that stuff up is, you know, it takes a long time, right? And if you suddenly have a bunch more data, you know, doing that stuff is going to take you days, which from a DevOps perspective, not a great scenario. You don't want to take 2 days to sort your stuff out, right?
That's right, Damien. Yeah. Even I experienced when we were procuring the new machines or migration of the machines from old server to new server, mm-hmm. even getting all the approval take a couple of days, even a couple of weeks for me also in my experience. And on top of that, every time we were thinking, okay, how much data we required, how much storage we required, we don't know any point of time the exact answer. Maybe after 10 years it would be 100% more or
right.
500% more. But here you don't have to worry about storage. It is elastic storage. As per your use, it will keep on increasing.
Yep.
So you don't have to worry from that perspective. Being a developer or being a manager or architect, what data we required, it mm-hmm. keep on increasing.
Okay, so you're not paying for additional storage that you're not using.
That's right.
Yeah, and so that kind of helps in both ends. Like if you have a ton of spare storage that you're not using, then you're paying for that, or you paid for that hardware. Whereas the other side of it is, if you suddenly increase the amount of data that you need, now you're hurrying to get more, you know, more storage in your on-premises server.
Right. It is pay for use. I remember at Christmas and Boxing time for one of our client, they asked, okay, our sale will increase 10 times. How mm-hmm. we could match with that because number of requests increase.
Yeah.
So for me, it's very easy. I just gradually increase it for say 100 data warehouse unit to 700 data warehousing unit. And mm-hmm. I said, okay, just look over, is it meeting our requirement? And that is perfectly fine. Okay. If we look over same scenario at on-prem data warehousing, so it would be not possible for a couple of weeks at least.
Definitely. All right, well, let's have a look on the Azure portal how we would even get started setting up our data warehousing on Azure.
Sure, I would like to show that. So if we go to our dashboard, this is my portal, mm-hmm. and I log in from my credential. If I look over data warehouse.
So you can see like all of the different options coming up there, and data warehouse, SQL databases.
That's right.
SQL database warehouse.
SQL data warehouse. So it will land us to this blade where we will give to database name. Mm-hmm. Let me give MVP summit, MVP data warehouse. So this is the name. So regarding subscription, we could choose any subscription. Mm-hmm. I have two subscription, Azure subscription and Visual Studio Enterprise.
Yep.
Let's go with Azure.
You can use resource group, yes.
Oh yeah. So standard. I could use create new or use existing. So let's for this, I will use Damien resource group.
Great name.
Oh yeah. So here we have a couple of options. If we want to take the backup from existing database, we could click backup and mm-hmm. connect with on-prem data warehouse. It will automatically take the backup and it has the replica of on-prem data warehouse.
Right.
We could do create blank database in which we could load, from different data set if we want to load. So we could do that. Another, we could create sample data warehouse. So where we could look over here, it will create sample for adventure work data warehouse.
Okay.
So we have different options.
So that's really important. You can start from a blank database, but if you already have a data warehouse locally,
that's right.
You can just choose the backup option and just pull it directly. So right from scratch, you're starting with the data you already have.
Exactly. And it will create the exact copy of your on-prem data warehouse to cloud.
Yeah,
and every application, if we change the configuration, they were just updating our cloud data warehouse.
Nice. Okay. So, and then server, you can set.
The server.
Yep.
So for here, I'm setting the server demo for data warehouse. Server admin login, say MVP, password, any password which is secure. Yeah, for sure it's not.
You don't need to speak that one out.
So I'm choosing location Canada Central because I'm from Canada and my maximum clients are from there. So. Mm-hmm. I click over the server and click over create.
So and that will go ahead and create a data warehouse with that performance tier collation, that SQL database and so on.
That's
so
right.
That's going ahead and creating that now. You've already created one ahead of time, right? So we can see a little bit what it looks like once that's set up.
Yes. After it will take a couple of time and it will create it. So we have a couple of options. First, once we have created data warehouse, we always want to load data. Mm-hmm. In my case, I did not keep the copy of on-prem to cloud. I chose and picked the data which is necessarily required, which is cleanup data. I use a couple of ETL process. So we have these two options. We have Redgate Data Platform Studio. Mm-hmm. If I click at Redgate Data Platform Studio, it will take me to this window where we have to give our associated work email. And once we will give over there, so we can connect it with that on-prem data warehouse to cloud, and it will copy all data from on-prem to cloud.
Okay.
Here, I want to add on, in this case, we can only update the tables, not views or stored procedures or functions. So programmatically, objects are not supported at Data Platform Studio. But if we want to have the all the tables or the tables which you want, okay, these are necessarily you need at on-prem data warehouse, you could have that.
Okay. And then the other option was an Azure
Data Factory.
Data Factory.
Another option is Azure Data Factory. Azure Data Factory has two versions, version 1 and version 2. Mm-hmm. And it is used for a couple of cases. It can be used as a job, so you can schedule it, you can copy it, copy the data, say every morning 4 a.m. if I want to execute it at ETL process, we can do that. So that is the another option of copying the data. It is called Azure Data Factory. I could say demo of Azure Data Factory and subscription over here. Select resource group, it's Damien resource group, and location, whatever you put.
Yeah.
Location,
so
we could do.
You only have a few options for the location, but yes.
That's right.
The data factory, okay. And if you created that, then you'd set up a another option for syncing that data.
Yes.
So just to clarify for me, you're syncing the data on a regular basis, or is this a once-off upload?
No, I'm syncing the data on a regular basis.
Okay.
Every night, my couple of ETL process run, Azure Data Factory, or in some of case, I have written SSIS package. As per need, they run and they update the data.
Okay.
So that every morning, we have the updated analysis report. Okay,
right.
This is the records. So both are at sync, and it keep on updating every night.
Okay. So one thing I'm particularly interested in, you're loading the data here, and that's fine. But we mentioned how difficult it can be to provision like new hardware if you need, you know, more space and things like that.
Right.
How do you scale this kind of feature, the Azure data warehousing stuff? How does the scaling work there? Can you
sure.
share?
It is very easy in Azure Data Warehouse. Mm-hmm. For example, currently for our data warehousing unit, if we look over, we are...
Of course, there's a scale button. Good.
Yeah, we have scale button and we are having 100 data warehousing unit. We could look over, it's cost me $1.77 Canadian dollar per hour.
Mm-hmm.
Say you are considering your data load or your request increases 4 times. So you can scale it up to 400 data warehousing unit and that's done. It will cost you 400 data warehousing unit and cost you 7.06 Canadian dollar per hour. I save it and you are all set to go.
So this is, just to clarify, this is data warehousing units. Is that performance based or is that size based?
It's performance based. That's a good question. Data warehousing unit are the compute unit of data warehouse.
Okay.
So if I'm saying 400 data warehousing unit, it means the performance of system increased 4 times. And the good thing is that it is very mathematical, visualized, we could say, okay, 100 data warehousing unit to 400 data warehousing unit, it increased 4 times, which is not possible for us on on-prem. If we put more RAM, we are not sure.
Yeah.
Exactly, it will increase 2 times if we have, say, RAM 5 gig and, you know, we increase to 4 times. We are not sure it will definitely or necessarily increase 4 times, but here we are sure, okay, it will increase 4 times.
Right.
And as far as storage is concerned, that is elastic storage. If our data becomes 6 times today, so we don't have to worry about that.
Right.
That is the beauty of Azure Data Warehouse, where it reduce the dependency between compute and storage.
Right,
here we could scale up storage separately and compute separately.
Right. And so the storage side of it, I don't have to worry about at all. If my data is 5 gigabytes, that'll hold 5 gig. If it's 1,000 terabytes or petabytes or anything like that, you don't have to worry about it. It'll just hold that much and I pay for how much I use.
That's right.
Yeah. So from a performance point of view, it's much, much faster than trying to increase the performance to your data warehouse because there's your scaling. And then from a storage point of view, that just happens for you automatically anyway.
That's right. That's right. This is wonderful. On top of that, I want to say at particular times, say if some folks want to try it for development or want to try, give a try. So don't worry about, we don't need to worry about, say, about costing and all that stuff, because we could look over here, my data warehousing is scaling. At any point of time, I could pause my data warehouse compute power, so my costing of compute power will be totally paused. So I will be charged only for storage. So it means if, say, developers are, in our case, is also a couple of cases for client I recommend, developers data warehouse automatically active at 8 a.m. start running, and 5 p.m. it pause automatically. So now it's pausing. So whenever developer coming 8 a.m., then it will automatically on.
Right. So if your syncing only happened at, you know, 3 a.m. to 4 a.m., you could pause that compute time before that time and start, and sorry, unpause it before that time starts and then pause it again after that period of time. And you're not being charged for that.
That's right. The time our data warehousing DWU, data warehouse is paused, we were not cost. So we have to schedule our ETL process in that way, maybe 12 p.m. or maybe any time or maybe 6 p.m. instead of starting it at 8 p.m. and stopping it at 5 p.m., pausing it at 5 p.m., I may extend to 8 to 7 p.m. and between 5 to 7 I can update. So
I can also see that being useful for organizations that, you know, shut down over holidays or something like that. Maybe they shut down for, you know, 3 weeks over Christmas, New Year's, that whole holiday period there. They probably don't need their data warehouse to be constantly updated over that period, so maybe they could pause it for a few weeks.
Exactly, that's 100% right, and that's what one of my client did at the time of Christmas, completely paused for 2 weeks.
Right, that's very cool. All right, so one last question just before we wrap up. We can connect to this from my local database tooling, is that correct?
That's right. You could connect to your SQL Server Management Studio. Say in your team, they have to copy this server name, which is MVP Summit Server Database.window.net. They can, whole team can connect to this data warehouse and work as they could do in their daily life. But before that, we have to give them access on firewall setting where we could go over there and give their IP.
Right,
so
okay.
They can connect.
It's not just a free-for-all. You have to actually enable somebody, give somebody access, like an IP whitelist.
Right, we have to give the security, and from security, that's a really cool feature. If someone have credential, they can't connect. As soon as someone want to connect with my Azure data warehouse, their IP will come over here like this. I will say, okay, give the access, allow access on. So as soon as I will say on, it will give the access to that particular IP, or I will give the rule name or end IP from here.
Yep. So, and that will add those firewall rules so only certain people can access that data.
That's right.
Awesome. That's very cool. Well, thanks so much for showing us this. It's great that you can have this kind of flexibility with the data warehousing. Access it obviously from the client, of course, and then the speed of actually getting that data up there and the storage size that you need as well. If people wanted to learn more, I understand you have blogs, a blog post on this kind of stuff, or several blog posts, is that right?
Yes.
Yep.
They can reach to deepak-kosik.com. Here I have a couple of blog posts where they could have detail why we enterprise should consider it seriously, how to upload data, how to upload data with version 1, with version 2, with data factory, different options, different options. This is currently we discuss high level, but it's a way-to-way, step-by-step ETL process to load data by load Azure Data Factory, move your on-prem SQL data warehousing by Data Platform Studio. They can do that. If they need any point of time more details, I would recommend Damien. One of the videos is at Channel 9, which is step-by-step on Azure Data Warehousing. I son, okay, how to do that.
Right.
So they can connect on both way, and anytime they could tweet you or me or mail you or me, and I'm happy to help.
Okay, awesome. Well, I'll put both of those in the show notes so that people can follow those links directly.
Sure.
Yeah, so thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Dan.
Really good to hang out.
Thanks,
and thanks everybody for tuning in this episode, and stay tuned for more DevOps Labs episodes in the future.